Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 12 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. You will notice we have underlined Rav Bar Shva. Before we begin the Gemara itself, let's point out that we're in the middle of a discussion concerning the preparation of kovid, of liver. Liver is an organ that contains a great amount of blood, and we discussed in our previous year different methods of approaching the preparation of liver, and the last point that was made was a process known as chalita, and we discussed having the liver submerged or possibly boiled up in vinegar. The vinegar causes the blood to be sealed into the liver, and as a result of that, the blood will not come out when it is boiled up. And the rule is that organs from whom blood has not emerged, blood that stays within the organ is not considered forbidden. And as a result of this, the effectiveness of the vinegar sealing it up in the liver would enable us to actually cook the liver with other pieces of meat. That, of course, was the subject of the discussion in our last sugya. We continue now with the Gemara, Rav Bar Shva Iklo Lebei Rav Nachman. Rav Bar Shva visited Rav Nachman, Aisu Le Kavdo Shlika Velo Achal. He was presented with, he was served boiled liver, and he did not eat from it. Omru Le, Rav Nachman was informed. Now, Rav Nachman was apparently not at the meal. Simply, Rav Bar Shva was visiting Rav Nachman. Rav Bar Shva was in a separate room, was served a meal of boiled liver, and Rav Bar Shva did not take part of it. Rav Nachman was informed, and he was told as follows. Bar Be Rav, the Talmud student, Delegav, that's inside, Lo Ochel. He's not eating what he's been served. Umanu, and who is it? Rav Bar Shva. Omar Luhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman became incensed, and he said, Gomu Lishva. Gomu is an expression of feed him, force feed him. Rav Nachman, obviously, was of the opinion that the boiled liver posed no problem. The Gemara now explains that the approach to the liver is a machlokes tanoim, is a Tanaic controversy, ketanoi. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ha-koved oseres, v'eino ne'eseres. The koved, the liver, while it's being boiled, if it's boiled with other pieces of meat, oseres means it causes them to be forbidden. Namely, the blood that exudes from the liver then enters the other pieces of meat during the cooking process, thereby making the other pieces of meat forbidden by having absorbed blood. However, the eino ne'eseres means the liver itself, it may be exuding blood, but it itself does not absorb or reabsorb the blood, and hence it does not become forbidden. As we explained, poletes means it exudes. Ve'eino bolas, it doesn't reabsorb. Rabbi Shmuel benoish Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, mitubeles oseres, v'ne'eseres. If the liver has been seasoned, mitubeles is the verb form of tavlin. Tavlin are spices. So that if it's been spiced, it makes the liver soft. And as a result of that, it not only will aser, will make other pieces cooked with it forbidden, but it's also susceptible or subject to reabsorbing the blood during the cooking process. Shluka oiseres v'ne'eseres. Now, this is what we really want to focus on. The shluka is an expression indicating boiling. So when it's being cooked up, it not only asers other pieces, but ne'eseres, it itself becomes forbidden. With the markings, you can see how we've dashed underlined the issue of the liver itself becoming forbidden as being a tanaic controversy. According to Rabbi Lezer, we indicated with the dashed underline, eino ne'eseres. With regard to Rabbi Shmuel, Benosha Yochan Broka, we dashed underline ne'eseres, that it does become itself forbidden as a result of the cooking. So, as far as Rav Bar Shvo resisting the eating of the boiled liver, it becomes apparent that he was choshesh, he was concerned with the fact that while it's boiling, it also reabsorbs the blood. And that would be in accordance with Rav Shmuel's ruling. Rabo bar Rav Huna, iklo lebei Rabo bar Rav Nachman. Aisu lekame tlas sovi tachoi. So Rabo bar Rav Huna is the visitor, and he's visiting the house of Rabo bar Rav Nachman, and they serve him. Tlas savoi means three se'ah. Se'ah is a measure. Tachoi, of fine bread. This is bread whose surface is smeared with oil and honey. In other words, it's presented here as a type of fine baked good. Omar Luhu, so Rabo Bar Rav Huna, the visitor, was impressed with the way they were treating him. He says, Mihavi Adisu Da Asino, did you know that I was coming and prepared this in my honor? Amrule, they told him, Mi Adivas Lon Mina, are you more significant than Shabbos? So it was, Rashi points out that this story took place on Shabbos, and they were serving him these cakes, but they were actually prepared in honor of Shabbos. Dichtiv v'karoso l'Shabbos oineg. The Pasuk itself declares that you shall proclaim Shabbos a day of enjoyment. So in order to accomplish this enjoyment, one will prepare fine foods. Adahochi, in the meantime, Ashkach hu kavdo, there was found a liver. Dahave bo symphona de blia doma. Inside this liver, there was a symphona, is a vessel, like an artery or a blood vessel, that was full of blood. Omar luhu, amai avdisu hochi. So he asked them, why do you prepare a liver like this? Rashi explains, Amay avdisu hachi, afa pi shedam hanivlabo heterhu, even though the blood that's absorbed in the liver itself is heter, as we've explained before, that blood that never exited an organ is considered, as we call it, absorbed blood, and it is not a problem. The Torah does not forbid that. Mihu, however, dam hakonus besimphonos dam hu. Blood that accumulates in these tubes, this isn't absorbed within the organ itself. It's gathered blood in these tubes. That is a different story. That's considered actual blood. Well, amru lei. So they said to him, Elo hechinavit. So how should we prepare it? Amar lehu, kiru shtivi orev v'chitucha letachas. The right way to prepare the liver is by tearing it length and width. That's shtivi orev, crisscross. And the cut part, in other words, you make incisions in this, or slices or cuts into the hunk of liver, and the cut part, when you put it in the stove, in the oven for roasting, the cut section should be facing downwards. That way, the blood will flow right out of it into the fire. The hani mili kavdo. That which we've said now that you require this kriya, this tearing, that's with regard to a liver. The liver has these vessels in it in which the blood can accumulate. Aval tachla, when it comes to the tchol is a different organ, sometimes translated as spleen. There, you don't have to do it. At Rashi says, it doesn't have blood in it. In other words, once the animal is slaughtered, the whatever blood that there may have been in this particular organ is not there anymore. You know, if you see some kind of redness in there, some liquidy redness, shumno bi almohu. That's mere shumon. Shumon would be like oily or fats that are there. The Rashi, the Tosfos points out over here, Aval tachlo shumno bi almohu, hainu davka guf hatchol hu shumon. This leniency is only with respect to the substance found in the tchol itself. Aval dam hayoytze mimenu usur. However, blood that exited the tchol, as opposed to blood found in it, blood that exited it, that is forbidden. The Gemara continues, Ki ha de Shmuel avdi le tafshila de tachli. Shmuel, they had prepared for him a cooked tchol, b'yoyma de ovid milsa, on the day that he bloodlet. It's apparently felt that after the bloodletting process, which was a known health procedure, it was important to eat tchol meat. So Shmuel, they had prepared for Shmuel tchol meat, and he ate it, showing us that the as opposed to the liver, there is no need to make any special preparations of the tchol before cooking it up. In other words, there's no need for the cutting of it open to release accumulated blood. Of course, this it goes without saying that if you're going to roast the tchol, then you, in fact you wouldn't have to do anything other than the roasting of it. When it came to the liver, as we saw just before, in addition to the roasting of it, there was a need for releasing accumulated blood within its vessels, and that was accomplished by doing kriya to it, the slicing, this crisscross slice that's made into it. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a Nose Mivne heading that we would like to pay attention to. Nose is a topic heading. Mivne is a structural note in which we describe the Gemara structure. Here, we will be featuring a Roman numeral 1 and 2. This you can see in the Gemara text, the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. These are Shnei Lishonois, Legabi Tzlias Koved, and the Tchol. Two versions of the Gemara dealing with the preparation of liver and Tchol. Im Chaticha Acheres Shel Bosar. While roasting another piece of meat together with one of these organs. The Gemara will describe or it will be assumed in the Gemara's discussion that a spit is inserted into these organs, and the point of the spit is expected to be facing downwards toward the fire. So the Gemara, Itmar, Kavdo Ilui Bisra. If you have liver on top of other meat, Shori, it's allowed. Domo Mishrak Shorik. We should correct ourselves before going any further. We mentioned the koved preparation, and we should correct ourselves and say the kal preparation. Kal is udders. Udders, we're going to talk about roasting udders together with other pieces of meat on the same spit. So far, our Gemara says, and we've dashed underlined the cases of kavdo ilui bisra, if the liver is on top of the other piece of meat, over a fire. So shori, that situation is allowed. Domo mishrak shorik, the blood that exudes from the liver simply slips off the meat and into the fire. It doesn't get absorbed into the meat. And that's as a result of the nature of blood. Kachlo ili bisra, osir. However, udders on top of meat, with them on the same spit, and the chal is higher up, the bosar is lower down, while the tip of the spit is facing the fire. So there we have a problem. My taima, why is this osir? Cholav sruche misrach. The cholav, the milk that's emanating from the chal, from the udder, is sticky. Suche misrach, it sticks. It doesn't slip off the meat, but it'll stick onto the meat and get absorbed into it. And of course, we are opposed to milk, even though, as we've learned in previous shiurim, that the milk in this case is called cholav shchutis, only rabbinically prohibited. Nevertheless, there is a prohibition. Rav Dimi minahardo masni ibcha. Rav Dimi has an opposite version. Kachlo ilui bisro shori. Udder on top of meat, above meat, while being roasted. They're being roasted together, the udder on top of the meat. Is okay. My taima, cholav shchuto derabonan. As we mentioned a moment before, the cholav, the milk that's emanating from the chal, from the udder, is only rabbinic in nature. What we mean by that is that only milk that comes out of a living animal, the milk that exits, that comes out of the udders of a living animal, is classified as milk. However, in this case, we're talking about milk that's exuding from a slaughtered animal, from the udders of a slaughtered animal. That milk is not legally classified as milk on a Torah level. Therefore, if you're roasting them together and milk does issue forth, it doesn't pose a problem for the meat because of the low-level nature, the insignificance of this kind of milk. Kavdo ilui bisra, if the liver is on top of the meat. So as opposed to the first lashon where we said things would be okay, this lashon says osur. It is unacceptable. The meat is going to be rendered unfit. Dam de oraisa. Dam, blood that exits, that leaves organs, has a Torah level restriction to it. And therefore, we can't allow the meat that onto which this blood had flowed to be allowed to be eaten. Dorash Meremar Hilchusa. Meremar then rules that the halacha shall be bein kavdo bein kachlo, whether it be liver, whether it be chal, the udders, tusi bisra shori, if it's under the meat, then it's okay. Ilui bisra, if it's on top of meat, di'eved in lechatchila lo. Di'eved means post facto. If you happened to have prepared it this way, with the kaved or chal on top of other meat, then we'll allow it. However, to set it up at the outset like that, to set it up deliberately with the chal or kaved on top of the basar, that we will not allow. We won't allow you to set it up that way at the outset. Rav Ashi iklo lebei Rami bar Abu Chamua. Rav Ashi visited the home of this person, Rami. Chazia lebrei de Rami bar Abu. He saw the son of his host, deka shoped kavdo ilui bisra. Shoped, if you look at that word carefully, you'll see it's similar to the word spit. So shopit is the verb form of putting meat on the spit. How was he positioning it? He had the kaved, the liver, on top of the meat. Well, we just got finished seeing Meremar's ruling on this topic, and we saw that if it's on top of the meat, only post facto would we allow it. However, to set it up initially, we would not allow it, and yet here the son of Rami was setting it up like that. Omar, so Rav Ashi reacted, Kamo Yohir Hai Me'arabonan. How boastful, how haughty this individual is. Emor Diomar Abonan Dieved. After all, the Rabbanan said it is allowed, but that's only post facto. But to take the liberty of setting it up initially like that, l'chadchila mi omer, who said that you can do that at the outset? So Rav Ashi didn't like the fact that he was setting it up in that fashion. The e'iko beidugi. Beidugi is a receptacle that's under roasting meat that catches the fats and also the blood. Fats is oily, and in general, oil rises to the top. So the Gemara says, v'iko beidugi, if the meat is being roasted together with the liver, then bisro ilui kavdo nami osir. Even if the basar is placed correctly above the liver, this is what Rami, that Raymar had said is an acceptable thing. Nevertheless, the beidugi, the kli that absorb, that receives the drippings, will be forbidden. The drippings in that vessel are forbidden. Umayshno midoma debisra. What is different about this case where you have a liver in the picture and a piece of meat above it? We say that the drippings are forbidden, and in a case of standard meat roasting where you have a beidugi, and when you have standard meat roasting there are also drippings from the piece of meat, you have drippings of blood and oil, and we say in that case you're actually allowed to pour off the oil and use it. But isn't there blood present in that case also? So the Gemara explains, Doma de Bisra Shochin. The blood in the case of a piece of regular meat that's being roasted and drips into a beidugi receptacle, it settles to the bottom. The blood of other pieces of meat settles to the bottom so that you have two clear, distinct levels. The top level is the oil. That's okay. The bottom level is the blood. They're separate. Doma de kavdo kofi. However, the blood that exudes forth from a liver, kofi means it floats. It appears on the surface. So, being that the blood is on the surface, you don't have access to the oil in that case. The oil, the fats that come from there, and hence the beidugi contents when it comes to liver roasted with meat, one cannot partake of the drippings in that case. Omar of Nachman, Omar Shmuel. Here we start a new discussion. This involves a knife that's used for slaughtering and halachas that follow from that. What are the rules that apply to the knife after it was used for slaughtering? So, Omar Rav Nachman Shmuel, Sakin Shishochat Bo, Osur Lachdoich Bo Roseach, a knife that was used for slaughtering. You cannot cut other hot food with that knife. Now, let's take a look at Rashi. Sakin Shishochat Bo, Aidi de Beis Hashchita Roseach. The neck, while it's being slaughtered, actually is hot. It's roseach, and as a result of, since the Beis Hashchita is roseach, bolea hasakin min adam, the knife, because of this heat element, the knife absorbs the blood at this, that's experienced at the time of shchita. The osur lachtuch bo roseach. And therefore, you cannot cut with this unkashered shechita knife. If you don't do something with a knife, you simply shechted an animal, then proceed to cut something hot, that would not be allowed. Because of the heat of the second item, the blood that's absorbed in the knife will exit, will come out into the item that you're now, the hot item that you're now cutting. So therefore, a knife that was used for shechting, unless you treat the knife and remove the problem from the knife. You cannot, right after the shechita, go ahead and cut something that's hot. However, tzonein, let's say that after doing the shechita, you wanted to cut something cold. Amri la bo'i hadocha. Some say that you require a rinsing off of the item that you cut. The amri la lo bo'i hadocha. And others say that you don't need even that. You don't need to rinse it off. As a result of it, of the item that's cut being cold, there's no further absorption into it. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ke'ora Shemolach Bo Basar. Here we'll talk about a bowl that was used for salting meat. What does that mean? Let us say you had a piece of meat and you salted it over a bowl. Asur lecho bo roseach, the bowl into which the blood had fallen, that bowl cannot be used for eating some hot food. Ushmuel itamei, Shmuel here in saying that it's asur lecho bo roseach is consistent with what he said elsewhere. Diomar Shmuel, maliach areu ke roseach, v'kavush areu ke mevusho. The case that we just mentioned had involved salting of meat, so the blood that drips into this bowl will be also full of salt. So the salt presence is viewed as boiling, as hot. That's maliach areu keroseach. And of course, as a result of it having absorbed the blood, you cannot now eat in it something that itself is hot, because something that itself is hot will cause the bowl to release that which it absorbed into this hot food item. Shmuel also points out, kavush harei kumavushal, that's not so much the focus of our discussion right now, but it means something that's pickled or preserved in some type of brine, is the equivalent of mevushal, of it being cooked. Ki also rovin amar Rabbi Yochanan. Before going further, we have a note on the outside margin, the nosei mivne. You can see the diamonds. We already made reference to one of them in Shmuel's teaching, and the second diamond around Rabbi Yochanan. Those, we've written on the side, Shnei Deos Be'inyan Lech I Havik Roseach, is something that's salted, viewed as if it's subjected to heat, that it's considered hot or boiled. Kovush I Havik Kimavushal. And the issue of something that's preserved, do we view it as having been cooked? So as we continue in the Gemara, Ki also Roven on Rabbi Yochanan Maliach Eino Keroseach, V'Kovush Eino Kimavushal. So point for point, he disagrees. As we continue in the Gemara, Abaye speaks up, and based on what one sees in the Meforshim, we have put in a long marking, considered this a long Abaye, and there is a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see Abaye is written in small and circled with a vertical descending dashed line. So Abaye says, Ha de Ravin Lesa. That which Ravin is trying to communicate here is not acceptable. In other words, Ravin is presenting Rabbi Yochanan as being very, we'll call it lenient, that even though there was salty blood in the bowl, or even though something was preserved in it, it won't be a problem. So Abaye says that ha de Ravin lesa. Ravin's concern is not accepted. Dahi pincha, there was a plate, dahave be Rabbi Ami, that was in the home of Rabbi Ami, the molach be Bisra, that meat was salted over it, the tavrei, and he broke it, he smashed it. Mifti, Rav Ami Talmid Rabbi Yochanan Havi. Rav Ami was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. My time of tavrei, why did he smash the bowl? Lav mishum deshmi alei minei de Rabbi Yochanan. Isn't it because he had heard from Rabbi Yochanan? The Omar Malia Harei Hu Kiroseach. Now, Abaye said that which Ravan said is not accepted. What did Ravan do? Ravan presented Rabbi Yochanan as being lenient. What do we see from this piece of Gemara? Rabbi Yochanan smashed the plate. Why is that? Isn't it because he must have heard from Rabbi Yochanan that Meliach Harei Hu Kiroseach? That would be very much like Shmuel's presentation, not like Ravan's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan. So Abaye hereby makes his point not to rely on Ravan's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan. Yosef Rav Kahana, Achvo de Rav Yehuda, Kamei de Rav Huna, V'Yosef Ekomar. Rav Kahana is seated in front of Rav Huna. V'Yosef Ekomar. Ka'oro Shemolach Bo Basar, Osir Le'echol Bo Roseach. A bowl into which blood fell when meat was being roasted, was being salted. Salting, there is a process to remove the blood. So as it was being salted, the salt withdrew the blood from the meat and it fell into this bowl. So a ka'ara that was used for salting meat, asur le'echol ba rosach, one cannot eat a hot food item in that bowl. As far as description is concerned, the dam got absorbed into the bowl, into the ka'ara. The ka'ara is now called a nosein tam rishon. It's called a giver of taste. The bowl or plate into which the dam got absorbed is now called a nosein tam. So, as a result of that, as it being called a no saint tam, one cannot eat some hot food in that bowl. Tznon shechotcho besakin. A tznon is a type of vegetable, sometimes translated as a radish, but for our purposes it's a type of vegetable. And this was cut, it's a sharp, it has a certain sharpness to it. So the tznon that was cut by a knife, and we're talking about a knife that's been used for cutting meat, so it's got this fleshig element to it. In cutting the tznon with this fleshig knife, the tznon will absorb from the fats that are on this sakin. That's a type of, let's say, fine film that's on this sakin, on this knife. Now, when you cut the tznon with it, the tznon being a sharp type food item, it causes absorption, that it will absorb the shamnunis, the film of fat that's on the knife. As a result of that, the Gemara says, We should actually correct ourselves. Even though the tznon has this characteristic, muter lochlo b'kusach, you can eat the tznon together with kusach. Kusach is a dairy dish, a dairy food item. So on the one hand, with regard to the bowl into which the salted blood fell, that you cannot eat hot food. However, the tznon that was cut with the meat knife, you can eat that tznon with kusach, with the milchige food item. My taimo, why are we making this distinction? Omar Abaye, see, the triangles are explained in the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh. Prior to that, we had a Nosei Klali term that appeared. Means a general topic. The general topic is what we call Nosei Tam, something that produces taste, not because of its inherent taste, but because it absorbed from something that is an initial taste producer, and that became absorbed into this particular item. This item now is called a Nosein Tam. So under our Nosein Mivneh heading, where in our Gemara we see triangles that appear, they surround Abaye and Rava. Shnei Deos, these are two opinions. Hasbira Evdel Bein Keora Shemolach Bobosar Uboladam. What's the difference between the bowl into which a blood from salted meat fell, where we say Osur Lechol Bo Rosach, that it's forbidden to eat hot foods from such a bowl, Litznon, whereas in the case of Litznon Shechotcha B'Sakin Shalov Shamnunis Bosari, that had on it some type of meat or fatty film on the knife, and then this knife was used for cutting tznon, shemuter lechol hatznon imakusach, which is chalavi, and yet we say that you can eat the tznon with this milchig food item, with this dairy dish, which the Gemara calls kusach. So the Gemara why the distinction? Why is the bowl treated with severity and the sakin tznon case is dealt with leniently? Omar Abaye offers the following suggestion. Hai hetera bola, v'hai isura bola. The case of the tznon, so it absorbed the film of fats from something that was allowed. Heter, that which was allowed, is what it was bola. V'hai, the case of the ka'ora with the dam in it, what did the ka'ora absorb? Blood. That's v'hai isura bola. Oma le rovo, ki bola hetera mai have. So what, the tznon absorbed heter. So what? Self, hai hetera de osi lide isura hu. The isura ka'ochil. When you put the tznon into the kusach, so the tznon has in it this meat taste to it that it absorbed. And when you put it into the kusach, which is a dairy dish, so you're creating something that is forbidden to eat. Elo Omar Rava, Hai Efshir Limitame, Vahai Lo Efshir Limitame. The difference between the two cases is that in the case of the tznon that was slaughtered, or that was cut with the dairy with the meat knife, so you can always taste the tznon. However, in the case of the bowl with the blood that it got absorbed into it, so high low efshir limitame, there's no way to check it out, to check out the taste. So as a result of our inability to check it out, because blood is an usur substance, so that's why we have to be strict, and that's why Rava makes his distinction. Amale Rav Papa le Rava. We should point out that we're about to learn a long question, which goes till the first wide line of the Gemara. So Rav Papa says to Rava, "Velitame kfeila armo." In the case of the dam in the ka'ora, the blood that got absorbed into the bowl, then the question arises, what about hot food that's placed into that? We want to claim that it's ruined. So Rav Papa says to Rava, why do you say it's ruined? Let it be tasted by a kfeila armo, by a Gentile cook or baker, someone who prepares food. Mi lo tnan. Do we not have the following Tanaic source that says kedera shebishel b'basar lo yavasha b'cholov? A pot that was used for cooking up meat, don't cook up in it milk. V'bishel, and if he did anyway, so b'nosein tam. Then we evaluate it whether it, there's a perceived taste in this case in the milk. Bishel ba truma lo yavasha ba chulin. If it was used for cooking up truma, then don't cook up afterwards in it chulin. Chulin is common food that anyone can eat. Bishel, if he did cook up chulin in this truma pot, so beno saint tam, if there's any taste of the original truma vegetation in this subsequent cooking chulin cooked food. So if there's any trace of taste, there will be a problem. And then in looking at this Tanaic source, we say, Bishlama Truma, as far as the Truma issue, is there a taste in the pot? So that if food is cooked up in this pot subsequently, it would be a problem of Truma. So that we can test out. Toyim Lekoyin, a Kohen, to whom truma is given as a tithe, he is the one that could taste, that could test it out. Ela basar b'cholav. The other point that was mentioned in this Tanaic source, man toim lo, who is going to taste it? Because if you then taste the food that was cooked up in this pot. Let's say you had a meat pot and then you boiled up some milk in it. So if you're going to taste the milk and it's going to have a basar, meaty taste to it, so we just got finished saying there's no one that we can really check it out. Therefore, how can the source teach that if you did do this, if you did cook milk in the meat, meat pot, there's benosein tam, if there's a perceived taste? Well, who's going to check it out? So the Gemara answers, the Omar lon litamei kfeila. And when we asked about the source, who is going to check it out, you answered, let a kfeila check it out. That's in the case of basar b'cholav, which is which is an otherwise forbidden setup situation. Ochinami, so too with regard to the bowl into which the blood had fallen while being salted. And then our question is concerning food that's cooked up in the pot afterwards, or in this bowl, hot food that's in this bowl afterwards becomes usur. How are you going to know? So ochinami litamei kfeila, so too over here, let it be tasted by this kfeila, by this cook or baker. At this point, we come to the end of our long question. The question had been, after Rava had said that in the case of the tznon, you can taste it to see if there's any meaty taste to it, but in the case of the blood, there's no way to taste it out. What do you mean there's no way to test it out? Let a Gentile cook have a taste of food that's put into that particular bowl. So the words hachinami, you know, you're right. Ki kwamino, when is it that we say that it's usur to eat in this bowl hot food? That's the leko kfeila, where there's no kfeila around. This Gentile cook is not around for us to ask him to check it out for us. Before continuing in the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. Dogim she'olu b'ka'ora b'sori. Fish that were placed into a bowl of a meat bowl. Again, it's a bowl in which meat had been placed previously. Mahu la'ochlon b'kusach. Can I eat this fish that was placed in the fleshiga bowl? Can I eat the fish with kusach, kusach being a dairy food item. Ech poiskim al noisein tam bar noisein tam. How do we rule with regard to a secondary taste provider? What do we mean by a noisein tam bar noisein tam, which at times is referred to as not bar not, not being an abbreviated noisein, the nun of noisein and tes of tam equals not, not bar not. Hakora noisein tam badogim. The bowl imparts a taste into the fish. So the bowl is a primary taste provider. And then the hadogim noisein tam bakusach. The fish then would produce a taste into the kusach, the fish having absorbed from the bowl a meat taste. And now the mixture or the combination of the fish and the kusach would have this secondary meat taste imparted into the kusach. So this is the subject of our Gemara. Itmar, dogim sha'olu bekora. Fish that were in a meat bowl, a bowl that was used previously for meat. Rav Omar Osir Lochlan Bukusach. Rav says it's forbidden to eat the fish with the kusach food. Kusach, again, a dairy food item. Ushmul Omar Mutter Lochlan Bukusach. It's allowed to eat the fish with kusach. Rav Omar Osir, why? No Saint Tamhu. It's Osir to eat the fish with the kusach. The fish have in them a meaty taste. So you have a meat taste being transferred or combined with the kusach. And that's a problem. Shmuel Amar Mutter. Shmuel says it's okay to eat the fish with the kusach. No Saint Tam Bar, no Saint Tamhu. The kusach is now a secondary situation of tam. In other words, the fish was a secondary taste producer. The first taste producer was the bowl. So having, let us say, kusach in the bowl, the meat bowl, would be a problem. But the kusach is not in the bowl. The kusach is being eaten together with the fish. The fish are a secondary taste producer. So that's a case of no saint tam bar, no saint tam hu. And as such, Shmuel feels that we should be lenient. V'ho de Rav lav beferish itmar, elo mechlola itmar. And in fact, Rav's stringent ruling here was never said explicitly. It was only derived from an incident that we will see shortly in the Gemara, led us to feel that Rav would rule strictly with regard to this case. The Rav Iklo Lebei Rav Simi Bar Chiyo Bar Brei. Rav visited the home of his grandson, Rav Simi, Chosh Be'enov, and his eye hurt him. Avdulei Shaifa Bitzah. Shaifa is a type of salve or medicine. Rashi calls Meshicha Mi Samimonim, a salve made of medicines. So a medicine was manufactured or made in a bowl. Tsa is a bowl. Basar Hachi, afterwards, Ramu Le Bishula Begavo. Afterwards, some kind of cooked item was placed in the bowl. Toim le taimo de shaifa, and Rav perceived a medicinal taste in the food. Omar, so Rav reacted. Ooh, yohiv taimo kule hai. Look how much taste there is. In other words, the bowl had the medicine had instilled a taste into the bowl. Then the bowl imposed a taste into the tavshil. So we think from here that Rav would be strict in the case of the dogim that were placed in the meat bowl as well. Vav. velo hi. And the Gemara says that we cannot draw a parallel between the case of the tavshil that received a taste from the bowl into which previously there had been the medicine, to the case of the fish that were in a bowl that previously had meat. Shiny hosom, the medicine story is different. The nafish mrorot fei, the medicine is an exceptionally bitter and potent tasting item. And that, the medicine, may have the power of instilling its taste into a bowl, leaving enough taste to have an effect on the tafshil. But the same cannot necessarily be said about the taste that meat imparts into a bowl, and to view the taste that the bowl thereby imparts into the fish in the same way. Reb Elozer have a koyim kamei demar Shmuel. Reb Elozer was serving Shmuel. Aisu lekamei dogim sholu bekara v'ka'ochil bekusach. So Shmuel was served fish that had been in a meat bowl, and Shmuel was eating the fish with kusach, with this milchig dish. Yohiv le v'lochal. The same, the kusach was then given to Reb Elozer, and he would not eat from it. He would not eat from the fish together with the kusach. Amalei, so Shmuel says to Reb Elozer, L'raboch yahivi le v'ochal v'at lo'ochas. Raboch is your teacher. In other words, Shmuel says to Reb Elozer, I gave this to your teacher, to Rav, and Rav is someone that actually seemed, that we saw above, seemed to be strict about it, even though we said he didn't say it explicitly. So Shmuel says, I gave it to Rav, that you apparently learned from him that it's forbidden, and yet he ate from it. He ate the fish with the kusach. Also, lekame de Rav. So Reb Elozer came to Rav, Omarle, Choder Bey Mor Mishmaitse, have you reversed your original teaching? In other words, Rav had taught, as far as this version is concerned, that dogim sha'olu b'ka'ara, you cannot eat with the kusach. So, and here Shmuel is telling Reb Elozer that Rav did eat from it. Amale, Rav responds and says, Chosle lezarei da abo bar abo. Abo bar abo was the name of the father of Shmuel. So his offspring is a reference to Shmuel. So heaven forbid that Shmuel delisvi li midi delo svira li, that he should give me something that I would not approve of. Rashi points out that what Rav is saying, that the incident never happened. Rav Huna v'Rav Chiya bar Ashi havu yasvi. They were seated. Chad b'hai gisa t'mavrosu desura. One on the one side of the river of Sura. Mavro is a crossing point. So you have these two rabbis, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya bar Ashi, either each one on the opposite side of the river. V'chad b'hai gisa t'mavro. And the other one on the other side of the crossing point. Lamor aisu le dogim shol b'karov ochabakusach. One of them was served fish that had been in a fleshig bowl, and he ate the fish with kusach. Lamor aisu le te'enim vanov b'socha suda v'ochav lo borach. And the other one was served te'enim figs, anovim grapes, in the middle of his meal, and he ate the figs and grapes and did not make a brocha. Apparently, relying on the original brocha on the bread to exempt these from needing a brocha. Mar omale l'chavre, so one said to the other, Yasmo alved rabo hochi. Yasmo is a possibly a derogatory expression meaning someone that has no knowledge. So he refers to him and says, Yasmal, would your rabbi have done thusly? Umar omale lechavre, and the other one said back, Yasma ovat rabo hochi, would your rab have done that? So mor omale lechavre, the one who had eaten the fish with the kusach said, Ano kishmuel svirali, I am basing my practice on Shmuel. And Shmuel had mentioned earlier, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you trace back to the corresponding arrow, you will see the line in which Shmuel had said Mutter regarding the Dogim Shalu Bekora. So I am based on this great authority that allowed for this. Umor Omar Le Lechavre, and the one who had eaten the figs and grapes in the middle of the meal without making a bracha, said Anok Rabbi Chiya Svirali, I practice my practice in accordance with Rabbi Chiya, the Tani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, who was another great authority, who authored Tanaic sources, writes in his source the following: Pas poteres kol minei maichol, the brocha that one makes on bread in the at the beginning of a meal exempts all other kinds of foods from the need of making a brocha. V'yayin poter kol minei mashkim, and making a brocha on wine exempts all kinds of other beverages from needing a bracha. So, based on this, we can see a source for saying that one who eats the fruits in the middle of the meal would not need to make a bracha. We must point out and caution, as we've done in the past, that things that we learn in the course of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur, are not under any circumstance to be taken as a halacha lemaisa statement. In other words, practical daily halacha practice should not be derived from our shiurim. These shiurim are to present the Gemara and the Pshat, but when you come to the realm of practical halacha, there are many additional stages of study that one must do in order to come to conclusions. So, in the meantime, we continue with the Gemara. Omar Chizkio Mishum Abaye. Hilchasa, concludes the sugyas we've discussed till now. Dogim Shalu Bekora, Mutter Lochon Bekusach. Fish that were in the fleshig bowl, in the meat bowl, one can eat the fish with the dairy kusach. Tznon Shechotcha Besakin, Shechotach bo bosar, a tznon vegetable that you cut with a knife that had been used for cutting meat. Osir lochlo bekusach, the tznon cannot be eaten with this dairy dish called kusach. Vahani mili tznon. This restriction with regard to eating with the kusach applies only to the tznon. The Gemara continues on the top of Kuf Yud Beis. The agav churfe, because of its sharpness, bola, it will absorb the meat taste into its depths, so to speak, and therefore the tznon will take on a meat status, and therefore it cannot be eaten with the dairy kusach. Avokishus gorir lebe paske v'ochil. If, however, one cut a kishus, it's another type of vegetation that's not sharp. If one cut it with a meat knife, all he would have to do is scrape off the point at which it was cut, the kishus was cut, and then you can eat it with the kusach. Kilchi could be like the stalks of different vegetables. So kilchi de lifta shori, the silka asiri. The same situation where one took a meat knife and cut lifta type of vegetation, he could eat the lifta with the kusach. It's not a sharp, the lifta is not a sharp food item, and therefore the, as Rashi says, the lifto lefes eno choref elam mosok, the ain tam shuman nikerbo. The fat, the meat fat taste won't be perceptible in it. The silka asiri, however, kilche de silka, silka, another type of vegetation that was used, that was cut with a meat knife, that will be usur to eat with the kusach. Ve'i posach behu delifta shapir domi. If, however, the word posach literally means mixed, but it would mean that with regard to the silka, which we said is a problem, if, however, you cut lifta with the meat knife before cutting the silka, so the silka then would be allowed to be eaten with the kusach. Looking at the Rashi, the posach behu the lifta, irvon the eis chituchan, mixed them together while they were being cut, which means shechotach achas shel efes v'achas shel treden. If you first cut a lefes stalk and then cut the treden stalk with the treden is the silka with this fleshig knife, halefes mevatel tam hashamnunis min hasakin, the lefes will have canceled the fatty taste from the knife. V'ein hatreden mekablin tam hemen. And then the treden won't be able to receive any further meat taste from it. And in such a case, as we said, the treden, or the silka, which is their interchangeable terms, will be able to be eaten with the dairy kusach. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.